Well, as if we didn't have enough to worry about with COVID-19 and oil going through the $0 a barrel barrier and everything else going on, no sport. Geopolitically, the world's attention yesterday turned to North Korea once again. Not because rockets were being launched or there was some official historic handshake in the DMZ, but because rumours were coming out via intelligence channels that the so-called dear leader, Kim Jong-un, was crook. Now, you have a look at the bloke. He's, you know, the size of a baby whale, and he's only about 5 foot something. Clearly, he's not in good physical shape. But there's a difference between that and being potentially on death's door. Now, a US official with direct knowledge of the whole situation was speaking to CNN yesterday, saying that Washington was monitoring intelligence, which suggested that Kim was in grave danger. And that was after undergoing a previous surgery for what we're not quite sure. A second source familiar with the intelligence also told CNN that the US had been closely monitoring reports on Kim's health. Now, the reason even Kim Jong-un's health became an issue was that he recently missed the celebration of his grandfather's birthday. And of course, his grandfather was the, I suppose you'd say, the founder of the Kim dynasty and indeed of modern communist North Korea. And that was due to take place, or in fact did take place, on April the 15th. Now, the absence of the current leader, the grandson, raised speculation about indeed his well-being. And it's been about 4 days at least since he's been seen. So big questions about the health of Kim Jong-un. Now, in the last few hours, South Korean government types have come out and said, oh, look, well, we can't really corroborate these reports. One official in the presidential office in Seoul believes that Kim might well be with officials travelling outside of the capital, but is it out of sight, out of mind, or indeed is there something to these rumours? Thought we'd have a chat with Professor Joe Siracusa. He's the Professor of Human Security and International Diplomacy at RMIT. He keeps across all this North Korean stuff, and he's on the line. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. Probably better than Kim Jong-un one way or the other, I can tell you. But you look at this story. Earlier yesterday, it was the bloke's really unwell. Then out come the South Korean officials saying, oh, no, there's not much to this. We're not too worried. What's your take on it?
Well, I think that in terms of intelligence gathering, there's so much coming out on this that we have to give it credence, I think. You know, the South Koreans say they have no information. Well, they have to say that. The North Koreans say they have no information, but they tell you there's no COVID-19 in their country either, so they're hopeless. On the other hand, the North Korean defector station website in South Korea says they have information. The Americans have information. A number of people are talking anonymously to CNN, so there must be something to it. I think there's credence here because in 2014, Kim went missing for 40 days. They said he had a cyst on his ankle. What they meant was he was suffering from gout, diabetes, hypertension, and all the rest of it. And he's in terrible shape. He's 300 pounds on 5'7" frame. Mm. And you can see that he's a poster for diabetes. And he would have hypertension and all the rest of it. They said in 2014 that he liked to eat cheese. He was a compulsive eater. Well, he's got himself, and of course he's a
heavy smoker.
He's a heavy smoker and a heavy drinker. You know, we might do one of these things in our lifetime, but not all of them at once. So, look, I think he probably had a they call it a cardiovascular procedure. He might have had some stents put in or something. But look, you don't have to have a degree from the Harvard Medical School to see that he looks ill. And you don't need a degree from any place to see that when he doesn't show up to major events, there's something wrong. Optics are very important in authoritarian countries. You know, when I was a student in Vienna studying comparative communist systems, you know, people said to me, look, don't even read much about it. Just look at the photos. See who's standing to the left of the leader, whether it was Mao or whether it was Joseph Stalin. Now, in the case of North Korea, he goes to everything. He shows himself. He brings his sister along. Another. You can see actually who's in charge of the country, but just going down the line. And if he doesn't show up to the major event, which is the son occasion of his grandfather, there's something terribly wrong. He does not disappear from public life unless it's important or he's incapacitated. Now, what's important about this guy is that he's got his button, or he used to have his button, on a nuclear weapon, which can threaten to destroy South Korea, threaten cities in Japan, the American base in Guam, could even reach Australia and America for all. And he's a big player because he has these nuclear weapons. The other thing that makes this a fascinating story is we don't really know what's going to happen next. Information there is harder to find than a black box at the bottom of the ocean. So we have to sort of imagine what's going to happen. Now, in a succession crisis, there's usually a collective government or a collective group are formed. This happened after Mao when he died, and it happened after Joseph Stalin. And it tends to be reasonable for about 3 months. But there is, as we know from high school physics, there's a vacuum. Mm. And nature abhors a vacuum.
They do.
And political power abhors a vacuum. So there'll be people racing in. Who's got the best pitch for this? Well, I'd put half my money on his sister, Kim Yo-jong. She's an alternate member of the Politburo. She has cachet, but more than that, she's got the Kim blood in her veins. You know, it's a dynastic leaderships from 1949. They all come from the same blood. In many ways, North Korea is sort of like, you got to read Macbeth to get a hold of these people. It's a Shakespearean story. These people are all in line, and they all fought for the leadership, but they all fight for the leadership with the connivance of their military. So North Korea has always been a very tense affair between military leadership and the leader of the country. Now, they need each other, which is why they're so happy to purge people who look like threats, because it guarantees their own place. Mm. So what's important here is what happens to the nuclear talks plan with the United States, who's in control and for how long. And of course, if there is a change in leadership in a government like this, you can call it authoritarian or a communist government, whatever it is, there is instability. So is anybody going to do the wrong thing? You know, who's in charge of what's going on? And is anyone going to be sending anybody any information? And so it's a time of instability. And because of the succession problem there, we have to know. We have to make an effort to find out what's going on.
Well, that's right. I mean, I
anticipate.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the succession because, of course, his brother, who would have been a semi-obvious choice to succeed him, is dead. He was knocked off in Kuala Lumpur Airport, if my memory serves me right. You've mentioned the sister. There's no children that we know of yet, are there?
Well, New York Times says he has three children. They don't know, two or three children. So maybe someone will just take care of everything until a child comes along and takes over. So he's got two or three children, according to the Times. Now, he also had an uncle that he had put to death a couple of years ago. And that uncle was very important because the Chinese were getting a little concerned about the leadership in North Korea. And if the Chinese were going to bring in a puppet or somebody they can control, they would have to have the Kim name. Once again, we go back to the dynastic legacy. Mm. They have to have the right breeding. So my money right now is on the sister for a while, and she's as hard as nails. Now, the question is a reactionary society like that ready for a woman to lead? Well, you could say the same thing about Mayor the Queen Teresa in Austria or Queen Catherine in Russia. Have you ever seen any of these movies, these scenes where they have 6,000 members of the party applauding Chairman Kim? Yeah, there's one or two women in the audience. I don't know if they're ready to go that way. But in terms of her preparedness, she's prepared. She's been at his side in Singapore and in and at his side in Hanoi.
Yeah, she pops up.
She went to China, and she greeted the Chinese leadership. She's in all the right places. She has his complete support. So in that sense, now, his father and the father before him had a chance to train the successor a little bit. He hasn't been around long enough to train anybody, but the sister has been with him since they were both children growing up for a little while in Switzerland, and they've been very close. She was demoted for a minute after the failed Hanoi conference. Then she came bouncing back as kind of the minister for propaganda. She's been signing off on her own political statements lately, and she's the alternative member of a very powerful Politburo. Now, in a society that's communist like that, that Politburo That's the crowd that runs everybody. You know, they can talk about all the type congresses or parliaments they have. And the Politburo calls all the shots. So she's a member of the Politburo, so she'd be one of them. But there might be a power struggle. I know when Khrushchev took over, he had to shoot the head of the secret police, a guy named Beria, because they didn't trust him. So is there going to be anybody getting shot here? It's possible.
Wouldn't be a first in North Korea. I mean, you mentioned earlier, though, Joe, that the South had to say, I think your words were, well, the South have to say that. When I asked you about some of these presidential officials in Seoul saying, well, look, yeah, we don't know much about this. We've seen the rumors, but can't verify, blah, blah, blah. You said, well, they've got to say that. Why do they have to say that?
They have to say that because the Minister for Unification in South Korea doesn't want to do anything to upset or piss these people off. And to go around saying, yes, the leader of North Korea had very bad recovery from his cardiovascular procedure and he's dying in some villa somewhere, would be seen as provocative. Because if the South Koreans start talking about this guy dying or having died, then the North Koreans would suspect what? Some push for regime change. They might say, now's the time. South Koreans are now figuring this is the time to move in because there's no leadership at the top. So the South Koreans, they're very good poker players. You know, they would just keep that card very close to themselves. But the fact that that information came from South Korea, from a website which is sanctioned by the South Korean government, the fact that the American intelligence community, which is pretty intelligent aside from whatever President Trump has to say about them from time to time, they wouldn't be talking to CNN unless they had something to say. And what they're entertaining right now is the possibility that the man had a procedure, probably had a heart attack or something, might have gone in for the stents, and the recovery wasn't bad. And as you know, in this coronavirus environment, anybody who has a pre-existing condition, and in his case, he's got them all, heavy drinker, heavy smoker, hypertension, the whole deal, they don't recover so well from surgery and things like that. So there might be a combination of things, not that we're ever going to know. But there is movement in North Korea. And they are one of the 9 nuclear weapon states in the world. And they can do terrible damage if there's misunderstanding. The people in the North, the leadership of the North thinks that the South is coming for them or the Americans are coming for them because there's this lull in leadership or there's this kind of vacuum. They might get very nervous. And these guys can do a terrible lot of damage by themselves. In fact, they could do so much damage that the COVID-19 crisis will look like a walk in the park.
Well, on that note, we'll end it this morning, Joe, but we'll stay in touch. I really appreciate your analysis. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Professor Joe Syracuse there, as I said, from RMIT.